Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I am indeed.
And Chris is bringing up the rear.
G'day.
Now, whether you love or hate surprises, we've all experienced them down the years. Some surprises happen directly to us and others happen on a much wider scale. In whichever form they take, surprises can provide us with all sorts of emotions. Today, we're answering this question. Do you like surprises?
I do. Ooh. I'm not sure I've personally experienced that many, but I love the idea of them. I always used to like, oh, this feels a bit sad now, I'm about to say it. I always used to think it'd be really fun if someone threw me a surprise party. No one ever has.
Oh, it does sound a bit sad.
As I'm talking, sad. I'm now like, oh no, what am I saying? I always like the idea that everyone would like pretend they'd forgotten my birthday, yeah, and then I'll jump out and be like, surprise!
It'd be irresponsible in the current climate, though, of course.
That's very true. Yeah, I did have a COVID birthday. And there was no surprise party, which I was pleased about this year, to be fair.
I was involved in a surprise party on Zoom, oddly.
Oh!
Yeah. One of our
mutual friends.
Well, I think basically they thought they were only going to speak to like one or two people, or maybe another couple, or oh, they just want to dial in and wish you a happy birthday. And then there was a few of us that were like, ah, surprise. And then we had like a games sort of evening thing. It was dreadful. No, it wasn't. It was lovely. It was a nice time.
Beforehand, I was on YouTube and I was like looking for things to do with surprises. And this guy runs in to his, or goes into his house, and there's a big surprise party. This is in America, obviously. And he doesn't realize, he just whips out a gun like straight away. And I was like, no.
There's someone in the house.
Yeah, exactly. He was just like, you know, freaked out. So yeah, don't carry a gun to a surprise party.
That's the thing. If you've ever tried to, you know, jump out on someone, or you know, you see them, you know, I don't know, you're walking home and you see a friend of yours and you walk up to them and you know, give me all your money, or like, oh, I don't know, whatever you might say, and surprise them.
What?
Don't do that. Well, a mate of mine, he thought that was funny. But I think I heard of a sort of a friend of a friend. It could be apocryphal, but it's believable that somebody did that. He turned around and punched them.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, sorry, I didn't. No, you can't. You didn't need to apologise. It's like this. You
putting yourself in for it. Like, you have to accept the risk if you're going to jump up behind someone and shout, give me all your money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Stay out of arm's reach, at least.
Yeah, well,
that's a traditional greeting from my friend Steve. Hello. He always says that.
To be fair, I hate being surprised by people jumping out at me. I have a very bad, like, startle reflex, I think it's what you would call it. So, like, one time I was at a house party when I was a student and someone jumped out from behind a curtain. Mm. And I had, like, just a full meltdown. Like, I just, like, started crying because I was just, like, so shocked. So you can hold a surprise party, but don't jump out from behind a curtain. Those are the rules.
I've got a story about this. My now wife and I remember when we were dating, and I used to sometimes sleep on the floor when I'd stay overnight, but it was by the door to her bedroom, and she needed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So I, about like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was quite annoyed at this, but so I thought, well, I'll get you back. So then I hid behind the door, and so that when she closed the door, I was just there with my eyes sort of staring open-eyed to scare her, but she slammed the door in my face. So the joke was on me, because I ended up rolling on the floor with like a bust up nose, and then I had to apologize to her for scaring her, even though I was the one in pain.
You've got nothing out of that scenario, have you?
Pick your moments.
Do you like well, Sarah, so you like surprises in some senses.
Positive surprises, but
you don't like being scared. You don't like the scary surprises.
I don't like the scare. I don't like the jump scare. No.
Okay, Chris, what about you? What do you think of surprises?
I don't like them.
Not in any form.
Oh.
Well, okay, that's a bit broad. That's unfair of me to say that. Go on. Sorry.
If I know that they're going to be good, then obviously, you know, I don't mind it too much. Uh-huh. I think I was trying to think about why don't I like them, and I think I don't know how to react in front of people to a surprise.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, I don't want the other person who's put an effort in to surprise me to feel that they failed.
That's the same.
So if
as
I
me,
don't
Bill.
React well, I'm like, I'm worried that they're going to be disappointed that I'm disappointed, if that makes sense.
No, I get that totally. That's the same as me, actually. I don't, when it comes to, say, birthdays, I mean, that's the classic. I think when people think surprises, they immediately think birthdays and so on. If you know, it's like, oh, surprise, everyone's here. And I'd be like, what'd you invite him for? You know what I mean? you've got the room about 75% right, I'd say.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think it is that oddly, there's a sort of a pressure with that particular one. There was a story I found on those internets that said a birthday surprise that went wrong. And I'll read what this person submitted to this particular publication. I went out for a romantic dinner with my wife. This was his birthday. She was being unusually flirty and saying that she couldn't wait to get back home. So when we arrived back home, she told me to meet her in the basement where we have an entertainment room and TV and all the rest of it while she changes into something for the evening's proceedings. Mm-hmm. By this point, I had a big erection. I went downstairs, started to take off my trousers. Surprise! About 30 friends in the basement for an early surprise birthday. Oh, he looks happy that we're here. Didn't realise it was one of those parties.
Ooh. Well, it is in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also,
what do you normally do in the basement?
She did kind of give him the impression that that was maybe the appropriate course of action and not.
Or if he just thinks all kindness from women is being flirty. That's the thing, is how he's interpreted her actions.
It's his wife. He should know her.
Yeah. And also she said that she was going to go and get changed for the evening. Like,
yeah.
He stitched him right up.
Turned out it was a swingers, but no, it wasn't really. I think it was a regular party. There was no, she just mugged him off a little bit there, to be quite frank. I know what you mean, though, with regards to surprise or gifts as well. A friend of mine, we had a surprise party for him once. We went up in London, in West London, in Hammersmith, for those who, it doesn't matter if you know the area or not. They used to do, there used to be a place there. It was specifically there. They used to do a back to school disco club night in what was the Hammersmith Palais, not there anymore. That hasn't aged well, has it? The sort of men wanting to look at women dressed up as schoolgirls, you know. No. You think about it, it's absolutely disgraceful, really. But anyway, back to school disco, it was a big thing. Some younger people or older people may think that's ridiculous, but believe me, it did happen. Hammersmith used to be awash with sort of 20-something, 30-somethings dressed in school uniform on Saturday night. It was ridiculous. But anyway, he thought...
It's like
he
a really... massive stag do, isn't it?
That's dreadful, dreadful. Awful business. But he was a good friend, and this was years and years ago. I was probably only about 23 or something. I was living back in Surrey before I moved to London. And the idea was, we're going to take him to this back-to-school disco. And I was a bit like, well, do we have to? And it's, no, that's what we've told him. We've actually got a surprise birthday at a pub on the way, and everybody's kind of going to be there. And I was like, but is he gearing up to see, because he might really want to go into London to this thing, sort of thing. And it turned out he was all right with it. They kind of gauged it quite well, and we turned up there. And I was quite glad, because we didn't have to go to this ghastly thing. You know, we had to, you know. But I sort of think to myself, if somebody says, we're going to do this thing, and I'm like, right, I'm then looking forward to that thing. I'm preparing myself for that thing.
Yeah.
I think, when we're going to be there, I'm going to do this, that, and they go, we're not doing that, we're doing this. And unless that other thing is considerably better.
Yeah.
That's really important. Is don't say you're going to do something amazing, and then do something totally different where you're like, I was quite looking forward to that.
And go to a dingy pub in Epsom instead of up to London. You know?
Yeah. I'm taking you to the Savoy, not really KFC.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a bit. A good friend of mine actually. He surprised his wife when they went on their honeymoon. Straight after the wedding, it was one of those ones. They were pretty much off to the airport the next morning. He didn't tell her where they were going to go, and she was delighted to know it was the Maldives. He went big.
Ooh.
He went. Big.
Quite a few of my friends have done that. They've kind of said, you know, the female wants to control the wedding, but I get to do the honeymoon, and I'm going to keep it a surprise. And I'm just like, that's a big risk.
There's no way I'd be taking that risk.
So I feel like I like the idea in theory, but correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like as a woman, there are certain mm-hmm. things you need to pack, like for
yeah,
different,
totally. Yeah.
You know,
you're absolutely
like
right,
if you tell me that we're going to like a mm-hmm. beach holiday and we're actually going on a climbing holiday, mm-hmm. I need to pack some different stuff. I need to know what we're doing.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah. I think that's the thing, it's the preparation, isn't it? And I don't know if I told this on the first show we ever did on first dates, and about a friend of mine who took a girl that he was dating to a hot tub cinema. Have I told this story?
Yeah, yes. Go on, tell it again. This was his first date, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe second date. She'd taken him on a first date, which is a boat trip down the Thames, and I think they'd had dinner and things like that. And he thought, I'm going to surprise her. Mm. I'm going to take her. And I think he'd probably just flipped open Time Out or something like that and seen Hot Tub Cinema. And he surprised her, like, I think the day of, saying, oh, you're going to need to bring a costume. And she, to confirm your
costume.
Points here. Yes, yes, yeah. Not just a clown costume. That would be weird in a hot tub, wouldn't it?
I'm a policeman. No.
But to back up your point, Sarah, it was like, she was just like, you need to give me time to get ready for this. Like, so you know. Anyway, the date went horrifically wrong because he didn't realise it did turn into a swingers party. And, you know.
He said that on that bit.
He was in a hot tub and there was another couple in there and he went to put the bubbles on. He was really naive. And they were like, oh, no, we don't do that till afterwards. So he was like, so we just kind of sit in this lukewarm bath together and watch a movie. And then as soon as the film finished, then I think he said the lights went off, the hot tub got pressed on, and he could feel them kicking against him when they were making out in this hot tub. And then lads in hot pants ran through, squirting foam into all the baths and stuff. And he was just looked at him and was like, I am so sorry. I did not know it was going to turn into this sort of party.
A little wonder it didn't go the distance, that relationship. That's not necessarily, by the way, I'm getting into semantics here, but it's not necessarily a swingers party.
No. I just used the word because we already talked about it in your dingy basement story.
Yeah, it's a sex party, but maybe not a swingers party.
Okay. Sorry, I know you'd know the difference, but I didn't.
Know your sex party, Chris, is what I'm saying.
That's what they teach me in Vicar College.
Well, do you know what, though, actually? Yeah.
You should know.
Yeah. Is it a Vicars and Tarts College for those older than I remember? See, that used to be another party that didn't... seems, you know, our parents' generation more maybe used to go to Vickers and Tarts weddings. Mind you, though, quite oddly, friends of... how shall I word this? people I know these people... Yeah, there you go. No trail.
A friend told me.
They moved to a particular area in a certain part of the home counties in England, where this small village where all the neighbours, it was quite well to do. You know, when people have a lot of time, a lot of money, and weird things happen.
Could be on Midsummer's Murders before someone gets murdered, type thing.
Possibly.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Everyone's at the cricket club.
Uh-huh. All that sort of stuff. They arrived and they were invited to this neighbour's party. This sort of, you know, this get-together. Everyone's invited. And the guy who was, he was like the sort of... the ringleader of it all, so to speak, and he was saying, come and come to the party, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, we're meeting at mine, and all this nudge, wink, wink. And they said, oh, it's a bit weird, but okay, fine, we'll go to the... And they, oh yeah, that's right, they said, okay, we'll go, because they were fairly new. So they turned up and got a bottle in the hand, opened the door, big man answers the door, just wearing an apron. And come in. And they're like, what's... And they could see through into the house that all the neighbours were there, and a lot of these neighbours, it was a swingers party.
Oh,
they'd been invited to,
and they
managed to style it out and go, we're so sorry, we've got another thing on, but we thought we'd come and drop a bottle off. And they were like, and they are presumably they sold up and left the town
feeling somewhat overdressed.
Sarah, and another group of people who don't like being surprised, army generals.
Go on.
Well, in the theatre of war, lots of surprises is a big thing in the theatre of war, isn't it? Yeah.
Being surprised while at war is categorically bad. So, like, I don't think they're going to jump up behind you and be like, surprise, we found you, but don't worry.
You win.
Yeah, it's not a friendly surprise. It's and it's usually more shocking than what I just described there in that town in wherever it was.
Yeah.
But it's true, though, isn't it? Very famous surprises. You know, Pearl Harbor, for example. That was
a very bad surprise. Nobody liked that.
Well, do you know what, though? I was sort of researching this. Yeah,
Japanese
well,
did, let's be honest.
I mean, let's be careful here, you know. We're talking about awful moments in war. But it's something that I looking into. And I suppose I'm trying to appeal to our resident historian, our good friend Simon Beale. But the Battle of the Bulge, which is when basically the Allied forces in World War II, this is nothing to do, swingers, the Allied forces were sort of pressing on and thought, oh, they're done for, yeah. And then Hitler and the Nazis, they massively like went back at them, and it was a huge, huge surprise, which was like a part of the world I didn't know about, you see. So I thought that was absolutely fascinating how the element of surprise in the theatre of war is very, very important indeed.
Massively.
But of course, massively, yeah. But what about more pleasant surprises, though, like the Oscars?
Are they a surprise or are they all stitched up
before? I'm thinking your favourite, Sarah, Olivia Colman.
Oh, go on.
Winning
I do
Best
love
Actress
Olivia Colman.
In
She's
2000.
Fabulous.
Well, she won Best Actress in 2019 for her portrayal of Queen Anne in The Favourite. And she wasn't the favourite for the award. You had Glenn Close, Lady Gaga, as well. You know?
What about I think this counts as a surprise. Was it that Oscars or was it the one before where they announced the wrong thing? Surprise! We were lying! It wasn't really them. It was supposed to be, so they said it was La La Land, and then
that's
they were
right.
Oh no, it's not, it's Moonlight, oh no.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And the bad thing about surprises, no one would know how to react in the face of what's going on.
Yeah.
It's when you see their faces and they're
a room full of actors, they don't know how to act for a change.
Yeah, well.
Quite delicious.
Surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
Very
that was
I,
a good one.
I'm not that much of a fan of surprises. And actually, to kind of change subject but keep it on surprise, is that when my wife was pregnant, we had quite a long dialogue around whether we kept it a surprise as to whether, you know, the child would be a male or female. And I was like, I really need to know. Like, I don't know why. I really had to know.
I get that.
I wasn't up for the surprise this time. And I think maybe because it was our first child and I was... You know, there would be so many surprises with having a child anyway. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I just need to know. I think I need to prepare myself. I would have been happy, boy or girl, but maybe because I'm quite practical and I like planning. And yep. I was like, I just kind of need to know, you know.
That's such a momentous and massive
thing. But my wife was up for the surprise. And a lot of people are. That's the thing, aren't they? They're very much like, no, we want, when the baby turns up, we want to be surprised. And I just wanted to be healthy.
I admire that your wife wanted to do it. I mean, what about the they have gender reveal parties, don't they, with the cake? Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think they're a bit much.
They are, but there is cake.
There is. Yeah. Well, all right, fine. Maybe I could be won over.
Just with the cake.
I'd like to know beforehand, and let's just get a cake anyway to celebrate.
See, I feel like maybe
you can do both. You can definitely do both.
This is making me think. Like, if I ever have a baby, I can have my own surprise. I don't need a surprise party. I'll just not find out the gender of the baby.
You're going to live vicariously through your child and keep doing surprise parties for them because you never have
If I ever have a child, they're going to have a surprise party every year and they're going to hate it.
That's the only reason to have a child is to live the life you never had.
maybe. I'll let you know if I ever do it.
You're going to put pressure on your son to become a professional footballer then, Chris? Come on.
It could be.
I want this.
Or I don't want it. I don't want to be disappointed again, so I'll just get him to do something else.
Oh, dearie me. You mentioned the Oscars. Speaking of films, I thought horror films are full of surprises. I don't like that.
That's the jump scare. That's what I'm talking about. No.
Sarah, you mentioned the jump scare earlier. And I believe you experienced this. Chris, you didn't. You saw the trailer for that film 2 years ago, The Nun.
The Nun!
Oh my goodness.
My goodness. Okay, right. I will share the trailer
Bloody
on our
fire.
Twitter feed because that got me.
I had a coronary nearly in the cinema. But the thing is, I can't remember what we went to see, but it wasn't anything. I don't like horror films. I think they're a load of old tosh.
Saw this in the cinema.
Oh, did you not?
No. It was like I was watching it. I can't remember why I found it. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you saw it in the cinema.
Oh, I thought you saw it in the cinema as well. Oh, well, I saw it on the silver screen. So I can't remember what film we were going to watch. bloody La La Land or something. I don't know, whatever it was. It wasn't a trailer one is expecting to see. But okay, fine. It's a horror film and you wait for the jump and so on. And there's that bit where I haven't bothered to see the film. Why would I? But there's that bit where the nun, you share it on social media, where the woman, the girl, the nun, she's walking down. The classic, because she is a nun. They're all nuns. It's like Nuns on the Run, but without.
I never saw
the film.
It's
called The Nun. So.
Yeah. It's a safe bet.
Exactly, yeah. You remember Nuns on the Run? Brilliant, that was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Anyway, so I'm getting, sorry, everybody. She's walking, classic, you know, it's a dimly lit sort of underground sort of passage. She's walking through, whispers, can't see. And the camera kind of pans round to where she's looking and then pans back to her. And there's this shadowy sort of nun-dressed figure with, you can't see the face. And it's like, oh, now that's a bit freaky. That's a bit weird.
Little jump.
Exactly. A little bit of, there you go, okay, fine. Yeah, all right. And she's going to turn around and see her and there's something's going to... And I was saying to my wife, oh, here you go, this is going to happen. And as she turns around and she sort of speaks to this other one, another one comes from the side and just goes whoomp like that. And honestly, the whole cinema shat themselves. it was absolutely... I know that doesn't sound that bad, but my giddy aunt... I remember afterwards, like, you know, that nervous kind of laughter of, oh, I feel a bit stupid now. And it was like, I remember sitting there, my heart was racing, going, I could have done without that. I really could.
But I remember you saying though, that the film, you hadn't gone to watch a horror film. So
no, not at all.
Even the trailer was out of context for what
yes,
you were
exactly,
about,
yeah.
the mood you were in.
Yeah.
And I remember a friend of mine saying to me just before you told me this story, whatever happens, if you see a trailer come on for this, just... Like he told me what had happened to prepare me because again he'd said the whole cinema and didn't it get banned from YouTube as a trailer on beforehand?
I think it was appearing on like a children's film or something. It was appearing on something that was completely inappropriate. But the problem is, even though like Marcus, you've just explained exactly what happens in the trailer, so people will be like, oh, like yeah, okay, I get it, whatever. But no, there's something about when you watched it, the shock, it just.
Didn't I watch it in the dark and then send you guys a video of my reaction?
Yeah. I think you did.
But it was nervous laughter. When you said I was like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I remember thinking like, oh, yeah.
Glad that's over.
Yeah. Oh, glad I'm on my own.
Yeah. What about Chris? What about surprises in the world of sport?
They're always good, aren't they, Marcus?
Come on. We live for that stuff. We live for Leicester City winning the league unexpectedly.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, isn't it? It's, again, if it's a positive surprise, if it positively affects me. So I would say in the last World Cup, it was a real surprise that England got to the semi-final. And I loved it, you know. But, you know.
Iceland beating England, we could do without that surprise.
Never seen you so annoyed in my entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? It's positive. It's kind of like you said it earlier on about if someone's going to do something, it needs to be better than you expect. And I think that's the thing. If it's worse, I think I'm just not that good processing my emotions quickly. So I just end up going very quiet and slightly annoyed at life.
But I think though, with surprises, like say if it's like in a cup match or something, and the it doesn't matter if it's football or any other kind of sport, the classic underdog beating David and Goliath kind of thing, like it gives everybody so much of a lift. I mean, you could call that maybe a shock or something like that, whatever, you know. But ultimately, it's a surprise.
And if it goes your way, that's the thing, is you get such a peak of emotion if it goes your way, don't you? So it's, I think my favourite ever was, and I'm not a Manchester United fan, but when they won the treble and watching the final and the fact that they came back at the end against the team Bayern Munich at the time were amazing. The elation was off the chart. Even though I wasn't a Man United fan, but they had a lot of young English players in the team.
David Beckham.
Yeah, exactly. But then the opposite happens and you just feel like you're completely on the floor. So I think I'd like to remain neutral when it comes to some surprises. Sarah, I must say, I'm surprised that you like surprises because you've often said that you're quite risk averse. And that surprise to me feels like a risk.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You're right. Like, it doesn't sound like something I should like. I think it's that element of... having some control taken away in a nice way of like, so, you know, for example, like, you know, we're saying about holiday, as long as let's take the packing element out. If someone said, like, I'll take you on holiday, I'm not going to tell you where, I would be like, oh, I don't have to do, like, the mental work of deciding where I'm going or that kind of thing.
Do you feel then it's almost like you've outsourced the that thing, and so therefore you sort of don't have to worry about it. In a weird way, that's like the control of, oh, I've given you permission to do that. I trust you.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like a lot of people probably feel this way of, like, I don't want someone controlling me or controlling where I do whatever, that kind of thing. But if you say to someone, I would love for you to organize this for me. So, for example, like, a few years ago, my boyfriend organized, he called it a day of fun. And he organized all kinds of fun things throughout the day, but he didn't tell me beforehand what we were going to do. And that to me was amazing, because it was like we did this lovely stuff and I didn't plan any of it. He had organized everything and he just told me, you need to wear like some smartish clothes and some shoes that you're comfortable to walk in. And so for me, that was great. It was like I had just the right amount of information, but it had all been sorted for me.
Had he really thought of you in this? As in, like, so it was things
just
that you
did it all
like.
Himself.
Like, yeah, yeah, he's like, right,
like, we're going to see West Ham play. And,
then we're going to have a game
and
of darts.
We'll go and look at some new bathroom tiles.
There's a new pie I want to try.
Yeah.
I would be up for that.
Oh, I love a pie.
Oh, yes.
I think that's quite, I agree. I've had, my wife's done like a day like that for me, which is nice. Because I think in those things, absolutely, whereas if she said, oh, I'm going to pick a holiday destination, we're going to go there. But then I think that's because I'm really keen. I really love picking a holiday destination, doing a bit of research and all that kind of stuff. So I think maybe there's an element of, where do you find your fun? And I think that if it's something that you feel that process that you wanted to be a part of it, for example, you think, oh, I feel a bit sort of messed up. Whereas if it's kind of like, yeah, fine, whatever, over to you, you know.
Exactly.
Do you know in America, there's a term, an October or the October, no, it would be an October surprise. Have you heard about that?
No.
Which is it's political jargon for a news story event that could influence the outcome of an upcoming November election. So like something kind of last minute. So if
they do that all the time though, don't they, now? So it's not a surprise when something happens in October because you know it's coming.
Well, so certain things can be leaked in October or, you know, or whatever. It can be controlled, of course. But I mean, you know, without getting all sort of political, we've had a lot of surprises. Brexit, you know, Brexit was a huge surprise. Donald Trump, I know he's out now, which...
Wow, he could surprise us and come back.
I think Donald Trump was a surprise.
I think surprise is a good way of characterising what happened there.
I think it's a very generous word to use, perhaps. but we'll leave that there. But even you know, in our own politics, you know, even going back to, say, David Cameron getting a majority, that was a bit of a surprise. I think in our sort of, when I say our, I've sort of very much been British, because obviously America have just had their election and that perhaps wasn't a surprise. But there's been quite a lot of surprises there, really, if you think about it. You know, very interesting. I had a great surprise once when I was on the London Underground. My mate and I, we'd just been, can't remember where we'd been, but we were literally saying to each other, we wherever we'd been, it was some sort of social thing, and it wasn't that great. It was okay, but I felt a bit tired. I'd been going to bed quite late. I was single at the time, working a 9-to-5 job, so, you know, regular hours, having to actually get up at a decent time and so on.
Surviving on cereal as your main staple diet.
All that sort of glorious stuff. And my mate and I, we were literally saying while we were on this tube carriage on the London Underground, yeah, I just felt like, you know, I just want an early night. It was okay where we were, but to do all this, as I'm saying this, a very good friend of mine called Ash, suddenly I feel like this sort of, I can see like somebody, because I was stood up and I could see somebody, and I'm thinking, oh, this person obviously wants to walk past me. And I kind of turn around slightly and I just feel like them nudging my back, like they're sort of slightly shoulder barged, and I'm a bit like, what is this idiot doing? Like, turn around, it's my
mate
Ash.
Give me all your money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bang.
I ended up in a village in the home counties, as nude as the day I was born. and it was a good friend of mine called Ash, and I saw him, and he was He liked a midweek drink and socialise, shall we say. A little bit older, but oh my goodness, one of my favourite people. And we just all, for some reason, just fell about laughing. And he went, right, where are we going? And I was just like, all right, the early night it's has gone right out the window. And
yeah.
I think I got to bed at like 4 on a Wednesday night. That was absolutely outrageous. I got about 3 hours sleep, but that was a great surprise.
A surprise night out.
Yes.
Yeah. Surprise night out.
The ones where you're just, we're just going to have, like, we're going to go for a little bit of food or one drink.
You can't beat them.
But it's usually because you're all somehow getting to the right vibe. And it just feels organic and natural.
You just don't want to carry on because
it's brilliant. Yeah.
Exactly.
We haven't had them for a long time, have we?
Not really much
chance. That was a nasty surprise last year, let's be fair.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I mean, you say surprise. Some people saw it coming, didn't they? Some people heeded that.
They're listening.
Indeed. Well, there we are. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to this week's Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. We are on Twitter and Insta, as you ruddy well know, at AQQAPod. Feel free to give us a delightful review wherever you get your pods, of course. We'll be back next week with another scintillating pod. I'm sure you'll agree. I hope you'll agree. So there we are indeed. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks very much, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.